Well, this is an extraordinary moment, really, in the history of Afghanistan. It's hard to overestimate the importance of former President Rabbani, really the founding father of the Afghan Mujahideen, the warriors who took on the Russians and won in the 1980s, and then couldn't agree among themselves who should lead, and led to this terrible civil war in the early 1990s. Now, Rabbani emerged as the president in the middle of that civil war, but always as a very divisive figure. And the Taliban emerged as the revolution, effectively, against all that chaos and disorder that, to many people in Afghanistan, he represented. It was a surprise to many when he became leader of this National Peace Council, now a much older man, and many people thought that he couldn't do peace with the Taliban, and so it has turned out to be.
David, thank you. Peter Galbraith was the United Nations Deputy Special Representative for Afghanistan. What do you make of this?
Well, it is a terrible blow. It's obviously a tragedy for the Rabbani family and the supporters. But it is also a sign of how bad things are going in Afghanistan. We had last week a 12-hour battle in and around the U.S. Embassy and the ISAF headquarters. We've now have the assassination by the Taliban of the person who was in charge of making peace with the Taliban. And it also has an ethnic division. Afghanistan is divided between the Pashtuns, who are the largest group, not quite a majority. It is among the Pashtuns that the Taliban enjoy all their support. There are virtually none among the other ethnic groups. And Rabbani was a Tajik, the second largest group, the people in the north. And so this is likely to inflame ethnic tensions. And the danger in Afghanistan has always been that what has been a civil war among the Pashtuns, Karzai, the president, is a Pashtun, the Taliban are Pashtun, could evolve into a civil war between the Pashtuns and the other groups.
How should President Karzai respond to this? There were earlier reports suggesting he was still mid-flight heading for New York for a meeting at the United Nations with President Obama, and he was going to turn back. In fact, he arrived in New York and has had that meeting. What should his priorities be given the scale of this crisis that you've just outlined?
But this is a major crisis in his own country, and it is my understanding, based on what his press spokesman said, that he will be returning to Afghanistan, and that strikes me as the right thing to do. He needs to demonstrate that he's in charge and that he's there at a moment of really a very severe crisis.
Where do you think this leaves the policy of engaging with the Taliban?
Well, the policy of engaging with the Taliban really hasn't gotten off the ground. Certainly the United States and its allies have not been able to identify, much less deal with, interlocutors who actually represent the Taliban. The people that we've been meeting have been either at the fringes or, in the one case, an outright fraud, a Pakistani shopkeeper. Who,
is it worth carrying on with it?
Well, I don't know that there's any other alternative. That's the other problem. The strategy in which the U.S. and its allies are engaged is not working, cannot work. It is a counterinsurgency strategy, and in order for a counterinsurgency strategy, there needs to be an Afghan partner, and obviously the Karzai government, one of the most corrupt in the world, ineffective, illegitimate, with a president in office by fraud, isn't a partner, so that the strategy just isn't working. And if that strategy isn't working, then you need to try other things, and one of them is trying to engage in a dialogue with the Taliban. The trouble is the Taliban think they have the upper hand, and I think they probably do. They know that they can't take Kabul. Even if the NATO withdrew, they couldn't take Kabul. But they do now control the Pashtun areas, and they're going to continue to control them.
Thank you very much for joining us. Peter Galbraith, who was the UN's Deputy Special Representative for Afghanistan.